Hello and welcome to the Scotchcast. This is the Giant Bomb Guild Wars 2 Communities Off Topic Podcast. I'm your host, Stefan Acidic, and joining me today is Shimboy630.
This snowmobile racing is intense.
Squiddle.
Yeah!
I believe in a thing called love!
And Thurbleton. I'm not even sure.
I could have sworn you said you are our health. Which, I mean, like, this, you are the body of this podcast, I guess.
Am I healthing this podcast? I don't even know anymore.
You feeling good? You feeling podcast? Okay?
So thank you for listening this song. Week. We're done. any plugs, Shimboy?
No.
Fuck. All right, so this week we will be talking about probably more PlayStation 4 stuff, what we've been playing, and there has been almost nothing in news except for Ustream and Twitch and the Playroom, which I now want to talk about, but whatever. We will get there in a bit. Oh, and sales numbers, which is kind of interesting, I guess. Maybe. We may or may not get there. But first, who wants to go first? I got a PlayStation 4 that was a thing, and it was fun. It was cool.
What games have you played on it?
Did it cost $1,000 in your country?
It cost $550, which is pretty much equivalent to $550. But you know what?
Okay.
Yeah, it's I had it paid off since just after the E3 press conference, so I didn't have any problems with picking it up. But it wasn't that, like, so in launch events in the States, at least from what I've seen from coverage of them from like IGN and stuff, seem to be more exciting events than launch events in Australia. Because here it was just people lining up, not talking to each other, then walking over with a raffle ticket with a number on it, handing it to a dude, getting a box, and walking away.
See,
it was very
unlike in Australia. Here in the US, not everyone is an asshole. So people were, at least I would assume people were talking to each other. At the very least.
It was, and a bunch of dudes were in Call of Duty shirts, and I was just like, yeah, I don't want to be here.
This sounds like the worst.
It was the fucking worst. Oh. Okay, so we have things, we have various subtypes of people in Australia, one of which are WOGs, and one of which are, I'm not sure if you have WOGs over there, or if you know what that word means.
Please describe.
Okay, a WOG isn't a derogatory term. It's just a term for a type of person. It's specifically someone with a very heavy Greek and or ethnic Lebanese and or Italian accent, because everyone is kind of just lumping them together.
So like Mediterranean?
Yes, that kind of region, their accent has kind of devolved into this very horrible, cannibalized, like Australia only dialect, which is absolutely horrid. But those people self-identify as WOGs, and they're, I don't want to say generally disliked, but overall, like, think of what you'd think of as a redneck. And imagine there were multiple kinds of rednecks. So imagine like rednecks and trailer trash from the UK, so like those Irish, like the gypsies, essentially.
Pikeys?
Yeah, pikeys. So imagine there being like rednecks, pikeys, and gypsies all in the one place, but Australian variants of them, and half of them wearing Call of Duty shirts. That was my experience of the PlayStation 4 pickup.
That sounds horrible.
It was one of the worst lines I've ever been in.
Sounds like a party.
I like lining up for things. Usually, like, I lined up for the iPad 2 when that was released and a couple of other things. But this was not fun. But my friend was there, so we just ended up talking about the Steam box and stuff whilst waiting, because I hadn't talked to him about it for a long time. But no, in general, I picked it up, got home, installed the update from a USB drive, and it just worked. And that's, like, the story of the PS4. It just fucking works. My impressions of the controller is, it's pretty good, yo. I'm actually warm to it. Like, I got the controller, and, like, note that Europe got the PS4 2 weeks after the States. So the amount of build-up from reactions got to, like, a fever pitch. So I was expecting, essentially, for me to open the box and the controller to fly out and float into the air and then shine white light into my eyes, and then for me to have a revelation, my life to be changed.
Gorgeous. Yours didn't do that?
No.
That sounds...
You got a faulty one. You need to call somebody.
Like, it was just... I put in my hands, I was like, this is, I guess this is a controller. I don't know. It feels good. But then I played with it more, and I've played with it more, and played Resogun, and Assassin's Creed, and Flower, which has turned out to be my favorite thing so far in the PS4. It is... Yeah, it's really good. I really like it. But the killer app for me so far... And I said a couple weeks ago that I talk about this on this show because I test it, is Remote Play. And Remote Play is like the fucking best thing ever. It's so good to be able to not be shackled to this desk and this TV, to be able to play Assassin's Creed on the pooper, to be able to like make food whilst playing.
Just not even messing around. Just yeah. Know what this is for.
Yep, exactly. To be able, I'm like making food or like warming something up in the microwave downstairs, but still like getting sea shanties. And that's like the thing. That was my test, right? Because some of the sea shanties in Assassin's Creed are pretty hard to catch up with because you find it and then you have to run after it and catch up with it. And there I had no problems with catching sea shanties. On my
Vita. Shanties by the seashore?
By the seashore, yeah.
By the seashore, okay.
It works, and that is like the highest praise I can give it because it feels like it's definitely not the best way to play these games because straight up, like if I was playing Killzone on it, the Killzone AI is just really weird because if like a quarter of their head is peeking over a cover or whatever, they can shoot you. So it's like, it's as if the bullets are coming from their eyes. That's how Killzone works. So it doesn't work out well there.
That's how real life works.
Yeah, exactly. And so playing that is really hard because obviously the screen's really small. So it's just really hard to pick out the targets and shoot them. So that I wouldn't do. But Assassin's Creed, where it's all like third person action, like I can parry just fine in Assassin's Creed. Like I have no problems with the combat loop, with the running. It just works, and it is absolutely fantastic. I was not expecting it to be that good. I have had moments where it's like it's just randomly craps out for like 3 seconds at a time. It happened once so far, and I had one moment a couple days ago where it went framey for a couple of seconds. I think it's got to do with my Wi-Fi network rather than anything else. But the actual, it's like 99% of the gameplay, it just fucking works. And the Vita is awesome.
Have you tried it outside of your home network? Like tried it while out somewhere?
No, because you have to do some stuff. You have to do some things to make the Vita think that you're still connected to your home network. Because it's supposed to work only via home network. So how people have done it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought they advertised it originally as like whatever. As long as you have an internet connection.
No, because the options.
I thought those videos were like people showing up at like the friend's house. Would be the.
Oh yeah, that's the end goal. But at the moment, to connect to your PS4, even on like the connections list, your only options are direct connection or Wi-Fi. So there's no like over the internet connection option on the list.
Is that something they're gonna like get in with a firmware update, or is that just not a thing?
Probably, because what people have done to get around that is that I think they're like naming. Or like the naming their home network the same as their work network, so it thinks it's on the same thing, and then setting up.
That makes sense. Like, people have done that with like 3DS stuff before, like changing their like home network name to Best Buy and getting free stuff in 3DS games.
So they're doing something equivalent. I don't think that's the exact thing, but they're doing something equivalent to fool it. So people have been getting it to work. So it does work. It just they have to put in like everything else in the PS4. They have to patch it up a little bit more before it gets to where it can be. But yeah, the remote play has been awesome. Like, if you think like playing an RPG in like away from your computer sounds like a good idea, then you should get a Vita because it works. It just fucking works. Like, I was just like running around town because I'm saving up for the best swords. I'm surprised you can buy the best swords pretty much out of the gate. So it's like 14K or so at the shop. So I've just been running around stealing from dudes. It's like literally was walking through the city stealing from everyone I walk past. It's sad because in Assassin's Creed 3, I'm sorry, 2 and 4, and 2 Revelations, at least, and Brotherhood. Ezio is a better thief than Connor is, or whatever this guy's name is. I think it's Connor, right? Connor's his name, right? I think.
No, yeah. Not in 4.
No, what's his name in 4?
It's
Conway. Connor's 3.
Kenway.
Kenway's 4, Connor's
Edward Kenway?
Yeah. So Ezio is a better thief, so you can just like hold down triangle and walk through a crowd, and he'd pickpocket everyone around you with like nothing. Like, no hesitation. Like, it's no loading bar. It's just suddenly you have all this money.
This is your channel.
Yeah, here's a channel. You have to, like, stay a certain distance from them whilst walking behind them and hold the circle button to pickpocket. So it is, I'm not getting money as fast as I used to. I used to be able to get to, like, 20K within the first hour because I just hold down triangle while walking through the streets. And if guards, like, aggro to me, I just kill all the guards and steal from their corpses. Like, I play Assassin's Creed in, like, the worst way possible. But yeah, that all works.
I sort of learned that stealthing is not super important.
Yeah, it's not. And I really like, so I guess this is a good time to transition to Assassin's Creed, because PS4 is awesome, but you guys already know about that.
Okay, what are your thoughts on Resogun, like, very quickly?
Okay, I am...
someone who doesn't like Super Stardust.
Yeah, I didn't like Super Stardust. I think I enjoy Resogun far more than Super Stardust, because it's just, like, I like the gameplay loop more. I like how there it's clear where to go at all times. Like, Stardust is all, at least as far as I remember, is all about just clearing the stage. Whereas this, it's about that, but also you have all these sub objectives to do, and at the same time, like, you have, like, all these tools to do it even from the outset. And I love the boost ship because that's clearly the best ship.
Obviously.
Yeah, and then boosting just feels so good, especially because you're going around in a circle. I think because Stardust you can boost wherever, and like boosting is really important to that as well. But here, when you're boosting, because there's sub-objectives and stuff, you know where you're going before you even start boosting. It's not just boosting it because you can. It's boosting because you want to kill stuff whilst getting points and get places at the same time. So just, yeah, it feels really good. I'm just really, really bad at it. Like, I struggle to get through the second stage on normal. Like, that's how bad I am.
The first two on normal were so easy. Then the third one started to get rough.
Yeah, I just suck at that game. Well, maybe because I will not let a human die. Like, I will save.
Sometimes you just have to let it go.
I will let save all the humans. It says save all the humans, Shinboy.
No, it doesn't. It says save the last humans.
Yeah, I need to save the last humans.
It doesn't say all of them.
I just
save 8 of 10 so you can finish the level.
I will go out of my way to save a human. Like, I could be, like, in the middle of a shitstorm, and I will blow bombs just to save humans. Like, I will do whatever it takes. So that's why I usually die. That's probably why I die a lot. But whatever. So Resogun's pretty good. I don't think I will go back to it, but I'm just not that kind of person. I just don't like those kinds of games. Like, that's not what I like.
Yeah, like, I got through it all on normal, and I'm, like, up to level 3 on veteran now, so I'm slowly going through it.
Yeah, it's cool. And that game does look way prettier in person. People keep saying that to me, and I was like, whatever. It's like, I'm watching a 1080p video on YouTube. It looks pretty good. I don't know. But in person, it's just, yeah. It just feels good as well.
It's really impressive with the way all the voxel stuff works.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, just I love the way... as I said before, I'm not sure if I said it on the podcast, but I said it somewhere. I would rather play, and I would love to play, the game that takes place in the background of Resogun. Like, I would play that
game. The crazy lightning, everything.
Yeah, the crazy lightning and the city that, and everything's made of voxels, so it blows apart whenever you do anything, like explosions happen. I would love to play that game because I think it'd be a really cool, like, third person action or like action platformer kind of game. But anyway, Assassin's Creed. So Shinboy, who's been playing Assassin's Creed? I've been playing Assassin's Creed 4. Shinboy has as well.
I've been playing some Assassin's Creed 4.
Right,
and Super 4.
Did you play Assassin's
Creed? I haven't played it. I've watched it, and I absolutely love the idea, and I listen to people. I'm going to pick it up probably when it's not $60 or $50.
Fair.
I got that for free.
Just because, you know, Christmas is coming, Steam sale coming probably, and I'm just going to wait and see if it goes down a couple dollars.
You might get lucky,
but excited, so...
So I'm surprised you picked it up, Shinboy. Like, I didn't think you were gonna. Did you? What tipped you off?
An opportunity was presented to me.
Uh huh.
Where I could get that game for $0.
Okay. Yeah.
And I took advantage of said opportunity.
Okay. Sure. And how do you like it?
As someone who has not played an Assassin's Creed game before, mm-hmm. like all of this, you know, free running nonsense mm-hmm. is actually new to me from this franchise.
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty fun. The ship combat sort of leaves a bit to be desired in terms of feeling like you're in control.
Oh, well.
Because I just don't.
the crazy thing about the ship stuff is that I find that the only way I can make it feel good is if I'm constantly changing between two sails and one sail to slow down and turn.
I just sort of kept it in one sail.
Right, yeah. And like, because at one sail, you feel like you have some semblance of control.
I just don't like how what weapons you fire are dependent on where you're looking with the camera.
I love that, because there's different weapons on the ship. I hate it. It's different stuff on the ship. It's cool.
I like that you can fire different kinds of weapons.
Yeah.
But if I'm firing these cannons, I can't see where I'm going.
And that's perfect.
And oh god, there's an island that I'm running into.
Yes! I love it! I think the game needs more open ocean. Oh yeah, like, no, I agree.
At least with some of the story stuff, like I'm at the part right now where you have to... You're trying to attract the bigger ships by, like, you know, getting metal salvage off some of the smaller ships.
Right.
You know the part I'm talking about, right? The small harbor.
No, I don't, but go ahead.
You're pretty far in the game, though, aren't you?
No, I'm not very far into the game. I only got my PS4 on Thursday, so...
Okay, this is pretty much... It's the first time it pits you up in a required sense against an actual other warship.
Oh, okay. Yep, all right. Sure.
And... There are, in the area where it does it, there are tons of tiny islands that are really hard to avoid.
So is this like...
Especially when you're not looking straight.
So is it like the time where you set... Because you pilot a ship at the start of the game, you're fighting other ships then. Then you have to pilot... The next time you pilot a ship, you're getting your way out of these like really warrenous kind of backwaters kind of thing, place, and your way to Havana. Was it that area? Because that area, I would never want to fight another ship.
No, it's almost worse. Oh, there's like a little tiny harbor that you go to.
Yeah.
Where like that's where the ship upgrading part of the tutorial happens, where you get your first forced upgrade.
Yeah.
And right out of there, there's a whole bunch of little islands like near that harbor.
Right. I really like... Okay, so there's parts of it I really like. I love the fact that you can transition from being on a ship to swimming in the water to being on an island and looking for treasure there.
Yep, that's seamlessly. Great. Fantastic.
That is spectacular. A+. Yeah, it is. It feels like you said, like if this was just a pirate game, it would be the single best pirate game ever made.
This is the Sid Meier's Pirates sequel we've all been waiting for. Ooh, yeah.
And there's like other things as well, right? Because that all works really well. Like ship combat, like it or hate it, it's really up to you. I think there are some improvements
I think
make.
The actual It's fine until you get into a situation where there's like three ships, then it gets kind of too crazy.
Yeah, it gets real crazy real fast. Especially because...
But I mean like...
Ship moves really slow. Like ships turn really slow. You aren't necessarily...
It also feels kind of unresponsive in that I'll like try and jam a hard left.
Yeah.
But since I'm looking a certain way on the camera, it won't turn me. Because it doesn't tell you whether the directions on the stick are relative to where you're looking or relative to the bow of the ship.
Yeah, and I haven't figured it out yet. I assume that's something you get a feel for.
I still haven't figured it out either.
Yeah, it doesn't tell you. Yeah,
it's kind of bad about that. Yeah. But the thing is, the reason I actually don't mind the ship combat is because once you incapacitate a ship and get to board it... It gets amazing again.
Oh, I haven't done that yet. That sounds
great. There's amazing GIFs out there where people will climb up the mast of one of their ships, jump off, grab a rope, swing over, assassinate two people on the ship, grab a third dude, shoot a fourth with a pistol, slit the third dude's throat. It's like the most crazy, ridiculous nonsense.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's kind of like the beauty. It's kind of why I love Assassin's Creed, is because when you get good with it, because it takes, every time you start an Assassin's Creed game, you have to remember how all the controls work, because especially since they change them slightly from game to game. So like remembering that there's a throw button and a disarm button and a punch button or a kill button and like the different methods of combat, but also remembering that if you're holding L2 and you approach this object, it'll do something different than if you're not holding L2 and stuff like that. Like once you get your head around all those facets, you can start doing some really crazy shit with Assassin's Creed. And the beauty of it is that in this game, they've kind of made it all fit together really well. So like, it's easier to counter now because they have better indications of when enemies are going to attack you. It's also like...
Straight up says counter over their head.
Yeah, just straight up says counter. And the weapon... You have two swords, but it feels like you're just moving, you're killing dudes faster. Like getting from dude to dude to dude, countering and continuing your kill streak just feels really fluid in this game, and you get it working really well. And just beyond that, like, they've streamlined all the stealth bullshit kind of out of it. Like, I don't know if it's a good thing for the series, but it's a good thing for this game because it feels right. At least, like, when I'm running around town and I aggro a bunch of dudes and I kill them all and then I aggro more dudes, I can just run away. And within seconds, I'm out of, like, combat, completely out of combat and regenerating.
I just put the GIF into the Skype chat so you can all witness the amazing shipboarding.
I saw that. It was just awesome.
Yeah, it's just they've done all the right things for this game. This actually may be living up to the hype, which is kind of crazy now that I think about it. But yeah, any other thoughts?
I also like,
go ahead.
As someone who thinks all of the quote unquote Assassin's Creed nonsense with all the assassins and Templars and the fact that you are actually an employee of Abstergo or whatever,
yeah.
I think all that shit is super dumb. It does not need to be there because it's sort of like, I don't know, you have this really awesome, like, historical fiction setting. Even if you stick with the bloodline, the line of ancestors that are all assassins.
Yep.
Even if you just do the assassins versus Templar stuff, that's fine because it all fits into this or these all really awesome historical fiction settings.
Yeah. Yep.
That I'm very happy that all of this sci-fi nonsense is taking a backseat.
Yeah, it's definitely taking a backseat, and a lot of it's actually optional. Like, straight up, there's all this, like, find the post-it note bullshit, like the QR code stuff that you just don't have to do. And straight up, you don't have to, like, when the game doesn't really thrust it into your face too much, because what happens is you have the intro section where you're brought into the real world. You talk for a little bit with some characters. Then she takes you to your chair, and it's then from your choice whether you want to stand up and walk around the office and, like, talk to people and look at the QR stuff, or you can just jump straight back into pirating like a badass. And
I've only jumped out of pirating once, and it was by accident. So basically, what I do is, since when I launch the game, before I launch the game, I pull up an article or something I've been wanting to read.
Mm-hmm.
So if whatever cutscene I'm going in goes too deep into the eternal battle and all the sci-fi nonsense, I stop paying attention and start reading the article.
Yeah, you know what?
I'm just playing this pretending like it's a really good pirate game.
Yeah, and it's perfectly fine because the action of running around town being a fucking pirate works. And it just works really well. So with that, we'll move on from Assassin's Creed. Could it be not on PC for you're playing on PC, right?
I guess I do have a question for you guys.
Go ahead.
What I really wanted out of this game, and probably the reason why I won't be getting it is, like you said, the one issue, like the one bugger you had was the way that you sailed the ship around, and that you didn't really quite have the control you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
One of the games I enjoyed for the ship sailing, but not necessarily anything else about the game, was Pirates of the Burning Sea.
Uh-huh.
The ship sailing is fine, like if you're trying to get from point A to point B. It's just the only reason it's kind of hairy in combat is because you're not looking where you're going.
Yeah, you're aiming whilst trying to drive at the same
time. Yeah, because if you want to fire, like, say, the port side cannons, you have to turn your camera to the port side.
Yeah.
I guess that if they added an AI for a first mate or something where you could just say, take the helm and we're heading to this point.
Oh, yeah. And then run around.
Like you have a waypoint set.
Right.
And then you could run around and actually man the cannons. That would be a cool thing, they never developed that.
No. But at the same time,
there are
moments. The game starts with you on a ship, right? And you are sailing through a thunderstorm with waves crashing over the side of your ship, and you're fucking firing, you're shouting fire and people are firing cannons, and my subwoofer was fucking barking like a mad dog and everything was going off, and it felt fantastic. So some parts, even though the ship combat isn't perfect, it is still really compelling in some moments just straight up excellent. Other moments not, but sometimes it is absolutely excellent. And I think that it's definitely, if you're looking for a pirate game, the fact that it isn't perfect shouldn't deter you, because,
for a pirate game, wait for the new Uncharted to actually be about Sir Francis Drake.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think that's going to be happening.
That'd be pretty cool.
So aside from that, we'll temporarily move away from what I've been playing, because I've been playing a lot. I think we've all been playing a lot, so let's just jump from person to person and do maybe one or two things each, then jump back around. So Thurbleton, what's one to two things that you have been playing?
Well, one thing I think would be a good discussion topic that I've been playing is I played and beat Remember Me and rather enjoyed it.
Yeah, good game. I like that.
It seems like a game that doesn't really do anything poorly. It just doesn't do anything different.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay. And pretty much all the reviews people have for it are more or less spot on in that, like, the combat is nothing to be excited about. Mm-hmm. It's a new IP. They tried to new ideas with it, and, like, they executed pretty well. It just wasn't that good of an idea, I guess, in that you basically can
– Okay.
There's four different combos that are, like, set button setups, X, Y, X, X, Y, 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 Y.
Mm-hmm.
X, 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 Y, 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 Y.
Fucking hell.
I knew you guys would like that.
God damn it.
But then
2 weeks in a row.
You can have it so that what you use that button press for will either like do extra damage or give you more health regen or like reduce the combo timer or like allow you to link combos together.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of interesting. But the real thing I really liked about the game was just it looked really, really good.
It's got a beautiful art style to it. Like I really,
it
like,
looks yeah. so good.
It was the first game where he was talking about the combos and the buttons changing it out and everything. Mm-hmm. It was the first game where I was playing it and I'm a button masher, as yeah. I think most of us are when it comes to those type of things. And you really couldn't just mash buttons when you're actually playing. I died so many times in the beginning, and then I realized, okay, I actually have to know what I'm trying to do,
right?
And know that this combo will give me health. This one will reset yeah. my cooldown quicker. And I like that it kind of forced my hand to do that mm-hmm. as opposed to I can just keep mashing and you know.
It wasn't even necessarily that. It was just like you have to wait for like the animation timer to end or else right. the combo won't go be effective.
Hmm. I'm not sure how I feel about that because I don't like being like even Dark Souls doesn't limit you beyond its very specific animation. Like did you get a feel by the end of that game? Did you get a feel for the combat to the point where you knew exactly what would happen when you hit a button?
Dude, that was like the first yes. third of the game. Like, okay, the awesome. Combat is easy.
Okay.
And good. Here's why I would recommend it for people, especially mm-hmm. with, like, you know, the Autumn Sail or Spring Sail or whatever you have, mm-hmm. whatever, like, set of the world you're on. Or just if you want to pick it up full price. It's just a game that you can sit back and relax and enjoy okay. very much like another game I played earlier in the year, Tomb Raider. Like it's they're both just like very beautiful games and the combat is just like you can sit back and sort of like you know numb your brain and then you're fine
right
and Tomb Raider's pretty good
Tomb Raider it, yeah it's very good game combat nothing to be like you know yeah.
The combat game was so good with the bow bow was so good
I heard the bow is really good I didn't like for Mirror's Edge and Mass Effect are the vibes I get when I look at Remember Me, and that is how really
dare
exciting.
You compare really exciting. Mirror's Edge to Mass Effect.
It did actually, no, but it
no.
Did,
I mean, it's a
it
mix
did.
Of
it
the two.
I would say Mirror's Edge, or and this might just be it pulls on influences from so many games that we just like tend to relate it to whatever we enjoy.
Mm.
I had a lot of like Deus Ex type things without the whole hidden hand. It's just like
right.
The hand is taking control, so they're straight up like they don't need to hide anymore.
Mm.
But the feel of like a fake utopia and then like just dystopia in Paris, I guess, reminded me of
dystopian fictions. Now we're talking.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it. Even on like my middle of the road graphics card, the mm-hmm. graphics look great and. That's so cool. Many times I just took screenshots and have been using them for just backgrounds. It looks
yeah.
so good.
It's yeah, that's straight up. There were threads when that game came out of just straight up screenshots, and I would have used a bunch of them. It's yeah, it just looks really good. It's got a really good art style to it. The combat sounds like it's not bad, so it's definitely playable. If it was free on PlayStation Plus, if you haven't, you may have it already. I haven't picked it up. But yet,
I don't think so. I don't think it was free in the U.S.
Anyway.
Because you guys got Remember Me and Revengeance.
So that was a short set.
I think.
Go ahead.
Well, the other game I wanted to talk about was Payday 2.
Okay, sure. Tell me, you've talked about Payday 2 before on the show. What has changed about Payday 2?
It's a horde-based shooter. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how much I talked about previously, but the thing I've been like playing around with, toying with, in what an hour here before in between shifts and sleep, mm-hmm. Is the way stealth is handled in this game.
Okay, that's weird. I wouldn't have expected you to bring up stealth in relation to Payday 2.
That's because it's so weird. Okay, by default, it is a horde-based shooter. And actually, I think it was a good thing to have designed it like that, because when stealth fails, you fall back to being a good horde-based shooter.
Okay.
So that was a good design implementation, I guess. Mm-hmm. The way stealth is managed is you can go loud so long as you can control the zone. It's sort of like there's two different approaches.
You're using words I do not understand. What are you even saying?
The two ways to approach any mission is either go loud or go stealth. So you either gear yourself with heavy armor, so you're far easier to be detected. Mm-hmm. But when it does go to be that horde base, lots of police streaming in constantly, you're well armored to fight them.
Okay. So you
whereas if you go stealth, go ahead.
So you recommend to go loud specifically, but play it differently.
Well, no, it's the other way to do it is to go stealthy, where you have a suit and far lower detection rating. You're just trying to not get caught and just work on the fringe case, and then eliminate all of the civilian patrols, time up, and then work your way in. Hmm. That is also interesting. The most interesting way is a hybrid between the two that is called ECM rushing, which the ECM is a jammer that turns off scanners and makes it so that when you kill guards they can't call the police, and when you kill them they have a pager spawn. But it basically creates a window where you can put those down and then just straight up run in, getting immediately detected, shoot everyone.
Okay.
And then once the ECM jammer ends, then you have to start answering all the pagers. And so it's just weird, we position ourselves in different corners of a bank that we're about to take over. Mm-hmm. And it's all right, well, we each have our roles that we have to do right away before anybody gets noticed. And it's an interesting take on multiplayer stealth objectives. Because, we're going in, we're shooting and we're killing people, but we're still doing it stealth because we're trying not to alert the police, the police depot down the street that has eight SWAT squads. So that's been an interesting thing.
Hmm.
And that's, I guess, what do you guys think about it? Anybody else here play Payday?
No.
Some of the giant bomb.
I've been wanting to pick it up.
Yeah.
I cannot be less interested in Payday.
Yeah. I'm trying to say I'm with Shinboy, but I'm trying to remain, because I've heard Payday is good. It's just that I agree with Jeff and Vinny in saying I don't need a shooter that is of that type at the moment. You know, I kind of want a.
Yeah, it's.
So I have a question about Payday. Mm-hmm. You could probably answer for me. Can you play Payday without setting off alarms? Is it possible to do that game without the cops even being alerted and get in, get out?
On some missions, yes. On a lot of the missions, if you're robbing a bank or a jewelry store or a diamond store, there's actually a specific one called Framing Frame that you make more money if you do it stealth than if you were to do it loud, based on if you get detected, security stuff comes up. And I guess the reason why I like it is that it plays all like a Call of Duty shooter, except there's objectives to it, and it is cooperative, horde based and all that, but it's not just run around knifing people.
See, because I was kind of hoping, in my heart, I was hoping it was more like a Hitman, where you can go around, do everything silently and stealthy if you wanted to, breaking into the banks or whatever your objective was, and not alerting anyone to your presence. And the idea of being able to...
You can do that. There is a gray area when it comes to having your presence detected, where you can still actually recover, but then once you do get fully detected and the cops are coming, there's no way to cancel that. It's just the cops are on the way, and you have to commit suicide to reset, sort of thing.
Okay. Well, then I'm okay with that, because I like the idea of being able to map out an area, what is it? They canvas an area and actually design your point of attack.
I believe the payday 2 term is when you're casing the area.
That's not a payday 2 casing? Term. That is the actual term.
Casing the joint.
Yeah.
Okay, that's casing, an actual casing. Term.
I realize that is an industry term, but payday 2
industry, yes, well. Let's call it that.
Anyway.
For those industrial.
Cool. So,
but those are just two games I've been playing.
You want some hot co-op action, you guys.
Yeah.
I've been playing Warframe.
Okay, yeah, so Shinboy, tell me about Warframe. Why, what platform are you playing that on?
The personal computer.
Okay, all right, sure, because it is also on PS4, and I was looking at it to see if I wanted it, and I didn't know for sure.
Crossplay is not in yet.
Okay, all right.
You can do like a one-time account move from PC to PS4, and they plan to do crossplay, but it's not in yet.
All right, so PC is the place to play that game at the moment because the people, the community. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So what is Warframe?
Warframe is a up to 4-player cooperative third-person nonsense shooter. The reason I say nonsense is because each Warframe also has a giant sword.
Yeah, it's also and a stabbing them, thing, right? Yeah.
It's not really stabbing. It's more slicing in half.
Okay.
We're talking like Metal Gear Rising levels of slicing in half? Or are we just talking about
I picked the Excalibur Warframe, which is a melee-based one, where one of the skills I can get, what it does, it uses like up most of your energy. It uses like 100 energy, and you only start with 100 energy max.
Mm-hmm.
You can upgrade it from there.
Yep.
Like slam the ground in like a point blank AOE, but everything like that you hit with it, they get impaled by spikes and fly back, so they're pinned to the walls.
Okay,
like they're just dead bodies are just pinned to the walls.
Nice. That's
so it's sort of Metal Gear Rising intense craziness.
So what is this like? What's the gameplay loop?
I don't know what this game is.
What do you do? Gameplay in this loop game?
Is just. There's a whole bunch of levels on each planet, and are just a pool of maps. Some of them are shared between modes, but each mission is a set. It's not a set map; it's a set mode.
Right.
So there'll be like one where it's just like, okay, there's 200 enemies in this map. Go kill them all. Or there will be like, okay, there's a VIP that you have to go up and capture, and by capture they mean kill. And then his like life essence is absorbed in a crazy swirl of physics particle effects into your hand. There's survival, which
it's
like wave based.
Wait, so this is an MMO. It's just a team based objective.
No, it's like there's a hub where each player has, and then you go in and you just join like parties. Okay. It's sort of like Phantasy Star Online, like the hub world.
Oh, so there's no
hub world. Would it be like PlanetSide with enclosed quarters?
No.
No. Okay.
The best like
Fantasy Star sounds pretty close.
It's just like instead of like a hub world where everyone's running around, each player just sort of has their own like menu screen where you can go into your forge, which is where you craft weapons because there's crafting, your inventory where you can apply upgrades to things,
right?
Stuff like that.
So what's
sounds like Hellgate London.
Hellgate London. That's the reference you chose to pick up.
Well, because. Because you were saying a hub, and I remember in Hellgate London where you had like little sewer hubs or tunnel hubs you would go into and upgrade your stuff and then go back out into the world type thing. So I don't know why that just jumped into my head.
So what's the actual impetus behind any? Is there a story to this? Like, what is happening? Why or is anything?
You're like this alien race, which apparently is canonically linked to Dark Sector.
What the fuck?
Want to say that again?
What the fuck?
Is that
fuck?
By the same company? One of those games. Or is it Dark Sector? I'm trying to think. I don't think it was. Because Dark Sector was Digital Extremes, which is Warframe.
Okay, sure.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So they're canonically linked anyway.
So it's the follow-up to Dark Sector is what you're saying.
Yes. Yes. You're basically these aliens that are going in and just slaughtering people because they're bad. And because you want to level up.
All right. So
you want to improve the quality of your dojo.
Yes.
What because is a dojo?
Everything has a level. I'll get there. Everything has a level. Each weapon that you get has a level. Each Warframe that you get has a level. Your overall account has a level. So basically you're going in there trying to level up, and by leveling up you can do new things and you can get new materials to build new weapons. And it's just like one giant treadmill.
Okay, great. That's
so yeah. Why? That's the impetus for it. It's carrot on
okay.
a stick.
Sure. Okay. All right.
And it's fun.
Okay. But yeah. then you can do so with friends and hence dojos.
You can do so with friends, and when you start a clan, which is, you know, everyone knows what a clan is, in a multiplayer game, mm-hmm. you can gain a hub, which is called a dojo.
Oh,
and
oh,
it's like a guild hall.
That makes sense. I thought clans are just housing. Called dojos. That's the dumbest thing.
And you can customize it, meaning you can put like certain structures in there. We just sort of started ours. I don't really know. We started our clan Heat of the Moment.
Nice.
After the famous Asia hit. And I'm pretty sure the only thing we have in there now is a dragon statue, which I'm pretty sure is on the roof or the ceiling.
Sure. You know what?
You can
sure.
place it wherever you want.
Because, like, if people don't know, Warframe is like this Asian kind of theme to its character design. That's, like, it's...
If you're looking for this, for help from this, it's actually because the single cover for Heat of the Moment has a dragon on it.
I was referring to dojos. Like, I was referring to why it's called a dojo.
And, oh, okay, yes.
Yeah, because
it's, well, like you, it's a dojo. You start out with like a katana. It's weird.
it's weird. So in all, Warframe is pretty cool.
Warframe is a weird fucking thing, man. Like,
okay, is it Trackmania so kind of weird, or is it like a different kind of weird?
It's like Trackmania. You look at it and you're like, yeah, this is sort of a racing game. Warframe, you look at it and you're like, this is sort of a co-op third-person shooter.
Yeah. Okay. I can see the parallels there.
Yeah, but I'm also a mage, or you can be a mage and you shoot out lightning storms. I don't know.
What? There's magic in that game?
One of the Warframe's vaults is basically a lightning mage.
That's... Okay, Warframe people is a at home...
thing. I don't think you understand.
Yeah, Warframe's free to play. Go fucking play Warframe, I guess. That's what...
Warframe is a really strange thing.
Okay, cool. Do you have anything
else
to be
playing? Some of the free to play stuff is kind of gross, in all honesty.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because it's free to play, so I don't know. Everyone has a different line when it comes to free to play stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't given them any money yet, so.
That's the right way to go. At least in most times, just not paying for a free to play game is the right way to go.
Yep.
But yeah, what's another thing you've been playing?
Another thing I've been playing is the new Ratchet & Clank game, Into the Nexus.
Oh, cool. Yeah, tell me about that.
I picked it up. It was like $30 normally, and then Best Buy had it on sale for $20. And then a couple weeks ago, I got a random email from Best Buy saying, here's $10 credit for no really good reason.
Okay, sure.
So I used that, and I got the game for like $11 after tax.
Nice.
So... I didn't realize it came with a download code for Quest for Booty, which was the downloadable one.
Right.
Apparently really short, but it was free, so whatever.
So this is an Insomniac joint, right? This is actually made by Insomniac?
This is a proper Ratchet & Clank game. Except it's not as long.
Is it good?
It's a good game, yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's not quite on the level of the other two mainline future games on the PS3,
mm-hmm.
which I attribute mostly to the fact that they sort of made it as a budget game, meaning that because it's not as long, like there are only like I think five planets,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to like the dozen and a half or whatever that were in Kraken Time.
Yeah.
The weapons don't upgrade as much. Like, mm-hmm. they only upgrade, like, twice up to level 3 until you get to, like, New Game Plus.
Okay. So it's a very limited scope Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah, and limited frame rate,
ooh.
Which is a design choice that I don't agree with.
So it's 30, I assume?
Most of the time?
Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. Sure.
After A Kraken Time came out, Insomniac said, like, A Kraken Time is probably our last 60 FPS game.
Okay.
And a lot of the reason people say that game looked really good, aside from actually looking really good, was that was rock solid 60.
Okay.
Like, for the entire thing.
Right.
And this is rock solid 20 to 30.
Oh, no.
At least in my experience.
Yes.
That's kind of bumming me out.
Oh, man. But it's that aside, like in terms of writing and stuff, because I'm not sure how many people in the audience would actually give a shit about Ratchet & Clank. But for the people who give a shit,
you should play this game, especially since it's not super expensive.
Okay. And it's, yeah, so how's
you don't care about Ratchet & Clank? I don't know. What was your question?
how's the writing and plot? It's like, does this link to any of the other Ratchet and Clanks? Like, should do you need to play a different Ratchet and Clank before you play this game?
For the story, there are like things they allude to, like, oh, you know, Ratchet, like, you did this or you turned down that or something like that,
right?
But there's no, like, aside from characters like the plumber still being in this game and Captain Quark in this game and stuff like that,
right?
There's not too much, but I don't really see anyone who's not already a fan of the series picking this game up.
Okay.
Because that's how, that's actually sort of how the series has always been.
Yeah, I guess so. And yeah, and I'm just not. I don't find them funny. And I, from what I saw,
I think Captain Quark is the best.
I think he is boring. which is kind of sad. I don't know. Like, he's very Disney. He's very Pixar-esque, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's slightly off kilter from Pixar. It's not quite the same as Pixar humor. So I don't get it. But I don't know.
It's pretty great that when the one like bad dude talks, he talks in gibberish, and they subtitle the gibberish as gibberish. Like, they just have spell it out.
Oh, nice. Great. That's cool.
So like, it'll spell out what he's saying, even though it obviously does not help at all.
And you can see that in the quick look. That's in the quick look. So
yes, you can.
But yes, moving on to what someone else has been playing. Squiddle, what else have you been? We haven't even touched you yet. What have you been playing?
Oh, I hope you've touched me. You have touched me. Oh, wow. Okay. Today, or the other day, I picked up Gunpoint when it was on the Steam sale they were doing. Played 2 hours and beat the game. It is, I guess, beatable in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, not bad for the price. It was like $3 or paid or something like that. But great game. Really, really enjoyed the game, the aspect of it. There was a lot more I could have probably do in the game, but I kind of just bolted right through it. I really didn't, you know, complete the level, try to do objectives. I failed a lot of the objectives.
And what?
Well, not failed. I didn't get an A+ or the plus rating for each level because either I was too much of a psychopath, I think is the terminology they give you when you just kill everybody in the level for absolutely no reason, which is what I tend to do. And I think the coolest mechanic of this game that I saw is if you actually fire your gun in the game at any point, you have 30 seconds to complete the entire round.
That's cool.
And the reason I say that is because if you don't, within 30 seconds, a sniper will be sitting right at the exit of the map. And no matter what you do, you cannot get around it. He will shoot you from the air. If you're jumping, if you're running and you try to jump, he will automatically target you and you're dead.
That's cool.
So it's pretty awesome. I actually like that. So it really makes you feel like, do I really want to shoot my gun? Like, is this a good point to do it? If I met my objectives.
I've heard, like, unlike necessarily Ratchet and Clank, because I'm going to say that because I don't particularly like their writing. I've heard Gunpoint is really, really funny. Or it's got a good writing.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your choices, you get like a 1-2-3 style choice when you're doing, and you're basically texting people back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you get your missions. And I love the answers that you can give when they ask you questions. I've got so many achievements for just being an asshole in my responses to people.
That's cool.
I think one of the achievements I got was Hammerhead for basically, I don't know, what was I doing? I kept lying to like the chief of police that I had couldn't find the evidence that he was looking for. So it was pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Awesome. And that, so for an inexpensive game, it was awesome.
Hmm. Awesome.
Let's see.
How much is that like normally, like not on sale?
It's like 15, I think.
Like $15 joint?
Yeah. Because I remember waiting. I want to pick that up on sale, and I missed that one. So I don't know when I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I don't know if I'm going to play it, but it sounds cool, but it doesn't sound like something I would particularly enjoy.
It's like a puzzle action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, exactly.
Okay. It's kind of cool.
So we've won him over.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, so, I'm won over. I want to play it at some point.
All right. The other thing I was playing, which for me was a big throwback and really hit home, was Contraption Maker that I got into. I guess it's in their greenlit or pre-release.
The early access?
Early access, yeah. There you go.
Okay.
And Contraption Maker is the spiritual successor to Incredible Machine, which I absolutely loved growing up. Basically, you have a bunch of parts that you have to get point A to point B, your objective, and put the machine together to make it work. So it is a direct puzzle game. But it is made from the original creators of Incredible Machine, or one of the, I think it's one of them or two of them, the original creators of the game. And it just feels so comfortable. I loved the game growing up. They did a really good job at making it feel very retro, but kind of also making it more modernized.
All right.
Of course, it is. I think it's an Alpha 3 right now is what they're showing it. So it's not completely done yet, and they are tweaking it. And but I don't know. I absolutely love that.
Just so how does someone find this?
If you go to Steam,
yep.
You can type in Contraption Maker, mm-hmm. and it'll be right there for you.
Yeah, it's a green light, or is it a...
It's early access.
Early access.
So it's on the Steam store.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's on the Steam store. And
so you can pay money for this game.
I did.
You can currently pay $5.
Okay.
There you go.
On the Steam sale. All
right.
So.
Cool.
And that's really... Oh, well...
I don't know, because we're going to be jumping around, but I know there's a game that you played a while ago that I have played now, and I was actually disappointed by it. I was actually kind of disappointed. Uh-huh. I played Device 6. And so did you ever end up finishing it?
No, I actually, because I sold my iPhone and went over to Android.
Oh yeah,
so
okay.
I have not been able to play
to the good guys.
Yeah,
to those games. However, okay, you say good guys, but however, I did ask Santa for something for Christmas, so we'll see if that.
If you need to get an iPad Air, man. An iPad Mini, sorry. No. You need to get one. You need this.
No, it was an iPod Touch.
Oh yeah, sure. Oh. That's also a good option. Sure.
That's just fair if you want to play iOS games.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. So maybe I can continue doing it. But like I didn't play. I played about 20 minutes of that game.
Okay, so that
I don't
game,
know how far you got.
So I finished it. I got one ending of the two endings I can see. Maybe there's more. But there's a binary choice at the end, which I assume gives you one of two endings. There might be others, but I don't think there are. I didn't see anything else. Because that game devolves to, if you find a puzzle, just go forward a little bit or go back a little bit and you'll find the answer. That is the extent of the puzzle solving in that game. It is beautiful. It has a very cool art style, a really cool, interesting soundtrack, and oddly good use of Foley and other sound effects. So in terms of presentation, it's a very interesting and cool game. And because it's so cheap, you may as well check it out. But just straight up, the core gameplay of it, which is reading text, looking at pictures, and movement, or at least like just going forward and backward along a ever-evolving path and finding those puzzles, is trash. Well, not trash, but it's just too simplistic. Like straight up.
So you're saying it's not the kind of game where I need to sit with a notepad out and make notes on what I saw, what I read.
It is, but it isn't at the same time. So some people say they needed like 3 to 4 pages of notes to finish Device 6. I needed 1, 2, 3 diagrams. And that was the extent. So one half a page with 3 diagrams on it, that is the extent of what I needed to finish Device 6. And that's only because I couldn't remember the amount of stuff it needed me to remember. So like this is like, for example, there's one puzzle which is like you're looking at a certain array of things and you have to arrange something else to match that array. So obviously I just wrote down the first array so when I walked to the second part of the puzzle I could complete it. That is the extent of it. So literally like there's like things where you have to enter a number and if you go back a couple of pages you'll find that number on a wall. Like that's the kind of thing, that's the device, like the problem solving in that game. And yeah, it's just, there was only, of the whole game, there was only one puzzle which I had to stop and think about for a second. And it turned out that the resolution was just, I was thinking too much about it. It was a very simple solution based off words they'd given me. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, cynic.
But cool. What's up?
On the subject of iOS puzzle, well, iOS games in general, but specifically puzzle-based games and all that, have you played Year Walk yet?
So it's made by the same guys, and I was planning to play this, then if I liked it, Year Walk. I didn't like this, so I don't think I'm going to go back and play
Year Walk. I would play Year Walk, because I will say I played Year Walk for a bit, and Year Walk is a lot more... If you're looking for less simplicity or more less simplicity, if you're looking for something that's a little more difficult, Year Walk would be
Okay, so it is actually more engaging than this. It's
yes.
Okay. All right. It's
from what you're telling me, and from the little bit I've played of Device 6, I have Year Walk, and I still I think I played like an hour of it. I still hadn't beat it, and I was still confused by some of the things that I was, you know.
Yeah.
I came across.
Well, that's good.
My biggest thing that tricked me up is that. And I still haven't figured it out, that there's somehow a correlation to using the game with the walkthrough guide that they put out there. And yeah. There's supposed to be something that combines that, and I haven't figured that out. And that it's a lot more detailed, I think, of a game if you're looking for something. So I wouldn't just shun it
really
because
hoping,
Device 6 was bad.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that Device 6 is a result of the puzzles in Year Walk being too hard. Because if that is the case, I want to play Year Walk, because I can see that I can see them looking at Year Walk, seeing that complexity of like having two things and all being interoperable and all that awesomeness, and then them going, okay, let's take that a step back and make it a little bit more approachable to the normal person, and that ending up as Device 6. Because I can see that. So if you describe it like that, and the puzzles are actually more interesting and engaging, I am far more interested to go back and play Year Walk now. That's like $6 or something. It's really cheap, isn't it? Like really cheap on the App Store.
Yeah, I can't remember what it is. I could actually look it up. If we want
On that same tip, the mobile games tip. I played and finished Phoenix Wright. Finally, that's good. I've talked about it every episode, so I'll leave it at that. It's pretty good. It turns around in the last case, and the last case is absolutely fantastic and absolutely like makes the whole game worth playing. I'm talking about like 3 hours or 4 hours worth of gameplay. So it's not like some other games where it's very good in the last like half hour and therefore justifies the game. In this case, the whole last case or two cases, because they're really linked, is awesome. So go play Phoenix Wright if you like that series. But moving on from there, I played Tearaway. And sad.
Tell me about Tearaway.
Go on.
It's so. Whose
How
idea?
Much do you tear away?
Whose idea was it to release a wonderful, like, little, small, like, indie kind of, like, sensibility in terms of, like, indie filmmaking kind of sensibility, platformer game between the releases of Xbox and PS4? Like, whose brilliant idea for it was this launch window?
The developers of Tearaway.
Like it's
Sony.
It's Sony, right? Like I don't know who thought they could counter program against the Xbox One launch with Tearaway, but whoever thought that is a complete asshole. Because I think in the Weekend Confirmed podcast, Garnet and what's his face, Jeff Canada, were discussing that if this game came out like next February, it would be lauded for how fucking good it is. It is excellent. It is a wonderful little game. It's on the PlayStation Vita, so no one's going to play it. But it's if you're buying a Vita, for example, for your PlayStation 4 as a accessory, you should get this game. Because it's only like $25 or $30. It's 7 hours long. I finished in about 7 hours. But from start to end, it's a platformer. But the entire time, it's introducing new mechanics, new enemy types, new environments. Its plot is ever evolving. It's got a beautiful aesthetic and a great way of using the touchpad, and actually becomes like it has a good mix of very simplistic platforming that lets you like get into your new area and a new place to compare, like actually surprisingly engaging combat if you play it like a fully dodgy kind of combat, which I tend to play these games like, it's really engaging. But then, like some surprisingly interestingly well designed and difficult platforming segments, which are fantastic. Like, and the stuff that I did in it that I've never done before. Like, I had to run across a collapsing bridge where I had to touch the screen whilst also running with the left analog stick to bring the collapsing segments back up whilst running over it, and then jump at the end onto like a long extended sliding platform, and then have to tilt the controller, so the Vita, because the whole thing, tilt the Vita to make sure I don't fall off this other part, and yeah, it's just, and they mix all that stuff in, so some of the last like levels are actually legitimately devious. It was really like what I'm saying, you guys, is I was I was not expecting to like Tearaway because I didn't like Little Big Planet that much, and it blew my socks off. It just surprised the shit out of me.
They had a Vita. When I picked up my copy of Ratchet & Clank from Best Buy, they had a Vita set up with Tearaway running, and I messed with it for all of 30 seconds until I was too confused because it seemed like it was in the middle of the game. But I was like, this looks really nice, and I want to play more of this, but I don't have a Vita.
Exactly. No one has a Vita, and it's in the it had terrible release timing, and god damn it, that game is... like, yeah, people need to play that game.
Well, I mean, like, terrible release timing, but then, like you said, for people who might be picking up a Vita. Or, like, might be considering picking up a Vita to go with their PlayStation 4, this is a necessary thing. Like, man, I can get this new game... this launch title, if you will.
Yeah, totally. It's like if I wouldn't be surprised if they have a Tearaway Vita. Like, Jimbo, did you see that there? I'm not sure if they do or not. Do they have a Tearaway plus PS Vita combo pack?
I didn't really look.
Okay.
I was mostly curious what their next gen console setups were.
Fair enough.
Which is strange because they had them both out, but they didn't. They had like the demo version of the OS running, which, you know, the Wii U has that as well and everything.
Yeah.
But no controller set up to either one.
Weird. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that for the Xbox as well. It's like full demo thing set up, but no controllers.
It was for like the Xbox and the PS4. Like neither of them had controllers set up. I haven't even seen a
PS4 demo thing here because they're all just fucking sold out. Like companies aren't even getting demo units because just how many of those. It's just drought here for PS4s. So I don't know.
It's drought everywhere.
Yeah.
Darren was saying his buddy that he knows that works at a Target said they were getting some this morning, and he showed up at 10 o'clock at open.
Yep.
Well,
I'm
not sure how reliable it is because this morning was, at least for the Xbox, the day that pre-orders on Xbox Ones were no longer valid.
Yeah, so they got released. Yeah, right.
Well, apparently their shipment got messed up or something, like the truck got delayed or something like that, so they're getting it today. And he went there and waited for an hour until his buddy said they were done going through the truck and they didn't have any. Turns out they were done with part of the truck, but not all of it, and they did have some, and by the time he got back, they were already all sold out.
Oh, it's so painful!
He was pretty much getting on Mumble and saying how his friend was an asshole.
Oh, it's painful. Yeah, I'm happy he's looking for a PS4 now because it's really good.
I don't understand him. Like, if you're gonna look for one, he canceled his pre-order less than a week from release, and is looking for one like 2 weeks after.
Well, to be fair, he had a kid and he needs the money. But now he's.
I think once it's out, he got caught in the zeitgeist and needs one.
Yeah, it's really good, but it's crazy to me that over this past week, my favorite games have been Tearaway and Flower as like. They just it's really good to have these really imaginative games around, like just to have fun with, rather than like the super
PlayStation
series.
Man bringing the goods when it comes to weird games.
Hey, I got some breaking news that just came in.
What's up?
Paul Walker died in a car crash.
Bullshit.
Yep.
What?
I've been following this throughout the podcast. I was going to mention it afterwards.
Yeah, what Fast the fuck? And Furious. Paul Walker died in a fiery car crash.
Holy
I think
shit.
That's sort of ironic.
I know.
Yeah. My friend just messaged me and I looked it up and I was like, oh my God.
That's
was
crazy.
He in Tokyo drifting?
I don't know.
Was it at least a good car?
It looks like a Ferrari, maybe.
Okay. All right. You know what? Okay. You know what?
He's keeping the flame alive.
Yeah.
I wish him well. Where he's driving now.
Are they done filming number 7?
7?
I feel horrible
for
saying this.
I think they filmed them back to back.
I feel horrible for saying this, but I cannot wait to see the narrative reasoning and like the way they tie this into the next Fast and Furious movie. I'm sorry I said that.
Unless they're already done filming 7, because they were filming 6 and 7 back to back.
Right. Yeah.
So if it's done filming, then I think that series will just be over.
No, what are you talking about? That he's only been in a couple of them, and there are like 9 or 8 or 7 or something.
There's 7. Oh, which ones was he actually only in 5 and 6?
I think he was only
Fast
in
Fast 5
1,
and Fast and Furious 6 is the last one, right?
Yeah. As long as Vin Diesel's still around, we can still have Fast and Furious
absolutely
movies.
Absolutely, and if not, just bring back the dude from Tokyo Drift. He was fine.
The Rock will replace Paul Walker's role. I guess.
Yeah. Yep. Do you know what? he already kind of had, because he's like the cop who's also kind of on their side, and also yeah, and The Rock is great. I just
Rock is man.
Yeah. Anyway,
sorry to break that in there, but you know,
Thurbleton, I heard
we're talking about it.
I heard you had a package arrive recently.
Oh,
and you tried. To,
oh yeah, I got a package.
I'm glad you clarified that.
And you tried to dance with it for me.
Dance with your package?
I guess there's no dancing around it. I have an Oculus Rift dev kit.
I'm disappointed. I'm actually so jealous.
Why? Why are you disappointed? What? What? By what? Why?
Because you didn't get the new dev kit that's coming out with. That's going to be higher res.
But we don't know what's going to come out. We have no idea. It's like completely unknown as to if or when that's going to come out.
I would still rather wait. I don't know.
That's what I mean. Like, that's the thing,
I
right?
Just, I wanted to see what it's like and start fiddling with the Unity editor or Hammer editor.
Yeah. I want it now. God damn it.
Ironically, the easiest game to set up with Oculus Rift support. Mm-hmm. You want to take a guess?
Team Fortress.
Going around the table if anybody wants.
TF2.
Yeah, Team Fortress.
Those are fairly easy in that it's just like you launch set launch options -VR.
Right.
So yeah, that's not the first one I stumbled across.
Euro Truck Simulator 2013.
I still got that to work.
Oh.
Wait, was it what's that game? What's that game you're playing? You liked the indie one with the episodes?
The Walking Dead.
No.
the answer being Minecraft.
Uncharted. Oh, Minecraft. Oh.
Uncharted, a PS3 game?
Yeah, the yeah, indie classic. Yeah.
Uncharted's working great.
Oh, the indie classic Uncharted too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Indie but darling, take the industry by storm.
It's a couple of things I guess I'll get across is mm-hmm. Yes, like, you know, when you look left to right, there is that delay. However, if I were to strafe left and right with the mouse, no delay.
That's weird. Oh, yeah, because it's all about like, the sensor, right?
It's the gyroscope having to then process that, then right. send to the computer, then have the computer video card analyze, and then send back.
Okay, so it's not the screen gyroscope.
Yeah, it's the gyroscope accelerometer, yeah. whatever it is, that is tracking that.
Right.
So I am absolutely confident that John Carmack can fix that bit.
Sure.
The resolution actually, like Minecraft worked really well because it's such a crappy graphics game. There was like the immersion was fine.
Right.
And it was super immersive.
So here's the question I have, right? So it fills up the majority of your field of vision, right? But does it still feel like you're looking through a really short tunnel?
It looks like I'm walking around, like when I played Half-Life 2, it looked like I was walking around with a box on my head that had a screen in front of it. So, like, there's, I guess this, maybe a tunnel, like
yeah.
it looked like I was wearing a box.
Right. Yeah. So you're looking through, like,
that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. But does it work? Like, did you have the Oculus moment where your jaw hit the floor and
I
you
threw
fell
up?
In the future?
No. Luckily, I did not get motion sick, or at least not for a long, long time.
Well, I meant that you were suddenly convinced that the Oculus is the future, but sure.
I think it's going to be an interesting future. It's not like the all games will not be Oculus Rift.
So why? I wouldn't be surprised if we could make it work for all games. I'm just not sure if I'd want that because I haven't tried one on yet. Like, what is
a lot of games you probably wouldn't benefit in a lot of games.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, it's some games, like, you want to have a third-person story or narrative, whereas others you want it first. And
right. So you say, do you think, are you in the camp that it would only work for first-person games?
I haven't tried for third-person, but it just seems weird. Hmm. Like, it is, that would be, like, a definite body experience.
I'm going to ask the question that's on all of our minds.
Yeah.
Have you played any weird Oculus Rift Japanese sex games yet?
No.
Have you played any sex games yet?
Because my rule for, like, okay, I don't have a firewall. I have a very loose protection system on my computer, but I also don't go down.
Oh, you like it loose is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I like to live dangerously.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually apply for the Paul Walker role for the next Fast and Furious because I live on the edge.
Is it too soon?
Too soon.
Man, I think it was like an hour ago, probably, or like 2 hours ago.
I feel bad even saying
It's probably too soon. Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah. Rest in peace, Paul Walker. You drive like the
wind. Wonderful bastard.
He's really good. I'm going to miss him.
I'm not. I don't like. He's not a good actor. He's not good in those movies. Real but talk. You know
that's
what?
That's why I don't. That's why I'm going to miss him, because the acting was so bad.
Real talk.
But right I yeah. I'm sorry he died. But yeah. But he. I did not care. Sorry.
In terms of like it. I can see it working well for like first person, especially corridor shooters, because it works with that.
Right.
Like, you know, in Half-Life 2, the big moment where you're like the doors open from the train station and you see the big tower thing in the background.
Yep.
Like
yep.
Citadel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was completely ruined because I could tell that was 2D.
Oh, no. Okay, sure. So
because like the 3D was so immersive for everything else that was properly modeled.
Oh. 2013 tech doesn't work with 2004 video game. Color me surprised.
But that's
no, no.
It's kind of thing because that's a trick that's still used in games today. Yeah.
Immersive 3D tech doesn't work with Skybox.
Yeah.
And it's like because you can tell it's a box.
Are you afraid that the Oculus Rift is going to go the way of what 3D TV stuff did? Like once it comes out, or do you think it will be picked up as it will be held as high as you know? New HD graphics or new video cards. I mean, do you think it'll just be like something that dies out after a while, or do you think it's really gonna be a thing?
I think that's up to the developers and people who can make if they can make convincing content, as well as the people like the Oculus VR team, if they can either get some subsidy models to make it available to everybody or some sort of deal with that. Like I think there's definitely the potential for it. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So,
because I mean, I bring that up only because people are saying that you know the new Zelda game on 3DS is a great reason why 3D works. It is a great reason for 3D, but it's kind of late in the game where Nintendo is probably going to change their mind and go, okay, our next thing is not going to be in 3D. Well,
they released 2DS, so yeah, that's just straight up.
So you know, I like the idea of something like this changing the industry. I just was curious what everyone thinks on, is it going to be a consistent change or just something that we see as a fly by night? And then
here's a question.
Something we chalk it up to like a Game Boy virtual boy or whatever it is, you know, later down the line.
I think to a large extent that question can't be answered at this stage, but there's a follow up that I do have, in terms of the sickness. We talked about that earlier. So you haven't had any form of Oculus sickness yet?
No, I have not. I had a couple friends come over, and one of them, he, after like 10 minutes, is like, I can't do this anymore.
And that Squiddle is probably a major contributing factor to how this is going to end up. Because I don't know if this
is... No, I mean, like, that is the issues that, like, were previously mentioned, that, like, you know, it's that delay when turning your head. It's the sense that, like, if you lean forward or back, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Those will get fixed, I feel. Yeah, I think those are the main issues, yeah.
Okay.
If they get the latency fixed, I can see those issues going away, like the sickness issues.
Okay. I mean, for me, when I have a Virtual Boy in a box.
And do you really?
Yeah, and I fire it up every now and then, and it still works, and I still enjoy, you know, playing it, and I think the games look great on it. I had no issues with fatigue or anything that people complained about. So
I thought it
was a great tech at the time, but it was never really came into its own. Because nobody supported it, or I guess nobody had. It was just one of those things. It was, hey, this is kind of cool, but not that cool,
right?
So,
right. So, like, so in terms of like Thurb's experience, like for you, so what's the longest period of time you've spent in the Rift so far?
Like 40 minutes with like a 5-minute break, but that break wasn't because I was feeling nauseous. That was because like I'm done with this game. Let's try something else.
Yeah. So, okay. So
kind of say. That I like in the Rift as a term.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice.
I'm trying to push it.
Point here.
Yeah. Well, I don't think so, but okay.
I mean, like part of the issue is going to be having to create stuff that like either a unified method of like how interacting, like do you track like the crosshairs with your eyes or with your mouse?
Yes.
And how's that going to work? Or is it just with every Oculus you get a Hydra?
Right.
Like for example, like
you mentioned earlier that you if you move the camera with your mouse, you don't have any delay. But do you also feel weird when you start moving the camera with your mouse?
No, because I'm able to remember that it's a video game.
You're able to disassociate yourself from the image, right?
Which does break some of the immersion of it, but it's just like that. Yeah, I'm able to just like split it all off in my brain, I guess.
Man, yeah, no, that's like that. The ability to disassociate yourself is very intrinsic to having that sickness, because like just straight up, if a person who easily falls into the illusion of being in first person, if you have things like that camera lag, or you have things like control being taken away from you, like for example, if you can't do the thing in games where a cutscene suddenly grabs camera control. Because if you do that in the Oculus...
Oh, yeah, that was something I had to prepare myself for. Because you know, one of your complaints for Half-Life 2 was that, like, such short level design and then the loadings in between just always happening.
Yeah.
If you were a loading screen, it froze. So I had to make sure I didn't move my head while there was a loading screen.
Oh, or else, man, I'd be
like, whoop.
That would be so weird.
And that's just old video games. New ones will probably fix that, but
so that all falls under that question, right? Like squids, like for example, what do you think? Do you think it's gonna blow up, or do you think like issues like this are gonna be a big factor?
The thing that gives me high hopes with it, to be honest, is having Carmack coming on as the lead technical guy for. Yeah. The Oculus at this time gives me a lot of high hope, especially in the geek and the tech industry, that it will be something that will catch on. And if anybody like can fix issues that there are, it's going to be him, in my opinion. So that's awesome that it's not just a new startup company that's trying to do this, that has drawn the attention of one of the biggest minds and players in the gaming industry. Yeah, I mean, it's like the godfather of gaming.
But so. Is John Carmack still actually relevant? Like,
yes, 100%.
Oh, yes.
Because the reason John Carmack has sort of, quote unquote, fallen off is because the games have not been as good, because he has been building games around his crazy tech ideas, where the tech ideas actually work really well, but the gameplay suffers because they were focusing on the tech.
Well, Megatextures wasn't necessarily that successful. Like, Megatextures didn't work out that well.
No, it's just because people didn't like Rage as a video game.
Well,
the texture that game looks fantastic.
It
looks
does.
Okay. I don't think that game looks as good as your like Crysis, etc. It doesn't. It looks good, but it doesn't look fucking groundbreaking.
Yeah, but you got to understand. I think
you're looking at the wrong things. Thing is, you said yourself multiple times that you're more of a lighting effects guy.
Yes, I am.
If you actually get into it and look at the way. Like all of the texture work on all of the NPCs and all of the interior work and all that, it looks so good. It's just that because the fancy, easy to market lighting effects are not there.
But straight up, like I played some Killzone though on my PS4. It was actually
easy
the first...
to market lighting effects.
Yeah, well, no, I'm not referring to that. It was because that game has the worst lighting. Not like bad lighting, but. Overusage of lens flare and just like stupid gratuitous bullshit that shouldn't be there and doesn't make sense is that game's biggest visual flaw. But because I wanted something to show off my PS4 to myself when I first put it in. So Killzone was the first game I put in, and the texture work in that game is spectacular. And it's actually the first thing I noticed. Like, more than the lighting effects, I think the biggest thing that's happened in this move to next gen, sorry to like change the topic, but is textures suddenly can look good, and it's gotten to
the point
where
they just go buck wild with textures.
I've never seen a game before, including Crysis 3, where every single texture you look at stands out to such a degree in its fidelity that the ones that don't are the ones that like create that dissonance. It's like
sort of felt that way about like The Witcher 2, because like all of the character models are so intricately detailed, and there's like tessellation on the armor and all the texture work and all that is really good. But sometimes you get over to like a floor and you're just like, this rug doesn't look too hot.
Exactly. And that's the same thing happened here. Like the cement would look good. The clothing looks like just absolutely great. And then you see like one, like amongst all this other wood, one plank of wood has like a shit texture on it. And you're just like, oh, what the it's weird. And yeah. Anyway, we've spent too much on both of these topics. But so who we move on to? Stapleton, you have Oculus Rift. Just overall general impressions. Is it awesome? Is it the next thing? Are you sold? Do you want it to have your babies?
It, I mean, like, I'm not... it's not. It can't have my babies. But
I mean, maybe in some of those games it can.
I am happy with my purchase.
Nice. And it's like $300 again, plus delivery.
We podcast again, and next time we podcast, you have not played any weird sex games. I will be just extremely disappointed.
Yeah. Also, you need to play Dread Halls. Did you play Dread Halls?
No, I've played a couple scary games in this, like, but not Dread Halls yet.
Right. Okay. Well, okay. What's the standout? Did anything actually make you like just crazy terrified?
No, I was more confused, but like, I don't know what it's supposed to like. This is it, like annoying, scary. I'm waiting for the suspenseful jump. When's it going to happen?
Oh yeah.
Wait, that's it. Oh
yeah. I don't like that. Yeah.
It's like a little bit lackluster.
Yeah. And I think Dread Halls is the first instance of a game that is trying to be a bit more subtle with it. And that's why it's been so lauded, critically anyway. But yeah, no more than that. That's going to be a thing. We're probably going to check back into your Rift and experience. Your ventures in the Rift, etc.
One thing I do want to add to that. Music.
Sorry, what is this, Squiggle?
One thing I want to add is that I like the idea of the Oculus Rift, but I wish there was a better way when if you're demoing a game with the Rift that it didn't look totally shitty, because you do have the two eyes. Now, if the Rift becomes a thing in every household, then you could do quick looks, previews of the game, running it through your Oculus Rift and seeing what the person saw, so that you're still getting that immersive 3D.
Oh, snap. Oh, that would be so weird.
But you're watching it.
But then
the camera
would be moving, but your head wouldn't be, and then you'd get all kinds of sick.
And also, like, so, people's interocular distances are different. So, because when you get a Rift, you have to set your interocular distance, and you have to do some calibrations to it. So I have no idea how it would work out if, like, someone else's eyes are just different, and you strap their eyes to your face, but it's not like having your face off. It's just having their face on yours, and you go insane.
I just need to throw in a face off reference, I'm sorry.
When it comes to, like, you know, fixing the camera and, I guess, sex games.
Yeah.
Partway through Half-Life 2, how they decided to handle fixed, like, you know, camera motions was there's no fixed camera. It's just, like, the body will move, but the head isn't controlled.
Oh, okay.
So there's a moment where very early on, you get beat up by some guards, and Alex Vance comes to rescue you. And after the light fades, like in the normal game, you are staring at her face. Since I was constantly looking forward, my body just collapsed, but I was still looking forward.
Yeah.
The flashbang ended, and I was just staring at a crotch.
Yes.
All right. Keep going.
Okay. I was like, oh, hi. Up here. Oh, hey, what's up?
You can still order these things, right?
No, you have to see some of the sex game ads for the Rift are fantastic. They're the best. It's like literally a dude doing a chick, and then suddenly she's enormous, and then suddenly she's like the size of a house, and he's still doing her. And then suddenly he's like, they're doing something else on the surfboard.
I don't think I've seen this one.
Yeah, it's on Vimeo. I don't know. I can't find the link.
Of course it is.
Like it's just the crazy. Like, yeah, and they are doing it on a surfboard whilst also surfing. And it's exactly
surfing like through space and time.
It's exactly what you'd want from a virtual reality sex game.
You're surfing the Rift.
He surfed in the Rift.
are we tripping the Rift?
Shinboy 630, had you played anything else? Like, was there anything else you had played? Or I'm sure if we
played a tiny bit more of Metroid Prime.
How do you like
that?
It
game's pretty good.
I mean, it's pretty good.
Like Metroid Prime.
So I've heard.
I like Metroid. Yeah. Metroid is a combination of things I don't like in video games combined into something that I like. It's weird.
Did you like the Batman games?
I haven't played the Batman games. Okay, I also should got those for free due to an opportunity.
Yeah, you should probably try those. They're really like a modern
Metroid game, though.
The first one is actually quite similar in that the unlocking of powers that lets you go to more places, and the having to scan things to get information about them. The first Batman, like Arkham Asylum, is actually very reminiscent of some of the things from Metroid. No, I don't think so. The city having no city doesn't either. Neither I think,
because that is one of the hallmarks of that genre is in abilities.
I'm not sure how I feel about abilities as in general. I don't know.
I like the Metroid games. I like them. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Metroid's still good, y'all. Squirtle, was there anything else you played?
I partook in the Humble Bundle for Android that is recently out.
I didn't know there was one.
2 days.
Oh, wow.
So okay. By the time you hear this, it's gone. Not be able to get it. Yep. Yeah. But one of the games, let me pull it up here.
I have the list up.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what it was. The one that
The two locked behind the paywall are Ridiculous Fishing and Kingdom Rush. Average wall.
So Ridiculous Fishing was not as fluid as I was hoping for. As I played on the iOS, it was a lot better. But I'm sure they'll tweak it and get it working. The one I do enjoy out of all these was the Spell Tower. I was really shocked at how fun that game was.
What is it?
It's kind of like all those other word find games out there, but a little bit different. To the fact that if there's a word that's within a boxed set, so if you have if you have school, but it's like it's S on the, I don't know how to explain this, it's gonna sound really horrible. If it's okay, let's go with lock. Lock's a better one. It's a four letter word. This is gonna work out great.
Okay.
So if it's L-O-C-K,
yeah,
but that's in a four quadrant, so each square is one. So L square. And then O's on top, C and then K.
Yeah.
Oh, you just connect them all together. You don't have to be in a straight line. It doesn't have to be, you know, diagonal, horizontal, or anything. It can be that. And also, you can go, well, if I want to do like locks with an S, and the S was within another quadrant, I can just draw my finger to it, if as long as it's touching the original cubes.
Okay. Yeah.
And then there's locks. So it's kind of nifty how they do that. Mm-hmm. And so I've been enjoying playing that on my pooper times.
Cool.
And
man, lots of talk of playing games on the shitter in this podcast.
It's the future, man. Yeah. Jeez. In fact, there's like a digital
I'm actually changing out my chair with a toilet and a whole, you know, system, so I don't have to get up at all.
I am curious, on the subject of playing games on the shitter and just future games, can you get XCOM Enemy Within on iOS? Or is it just Enemy Unknown right now?
Have we talked about that yet? Yeah.
I think it's on iOS.
No, isn't it just Unknown?
I don't know about Enemy Within.
I think it's just
Unknown. Also, I wonder what your guys' opinion is on the Humble Store now that it's a thing.
Yeah, I just saw that. I think that's kind of interesting. It's now
kind of dumb.
Full-blown store. Well,
I think Humble is getting too big for its own good.
Is that becoming really humble and indie?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I worry.
I haven't actually heard about this, the Humble Store. I've gone
Guild Wars 2 was on there for opening day.
Okay. Oh, wow. Gone Home's for $10. Okay, people should get that. People should buy...
Gone Home was $5 on Steam the other day. I meant to buy it, but my power went out.
Nice.
So,
that's a good excuse.
That game is, definitely on my top five for Game of the Year so far. Anyway, it's Thurbleton. Since you're the only one who has a game that we haven't talked about yet, but back to you. Just as quickly, how was XCOM Enemy Within?
I really enjoyed it. I previously played Enemy Unknown on, I want to say like normal or hard, but not on Iron Man, which resulted in me save scumming, which anybody doesn't know. That is just like mid-battle, if something does go your way, just... going back to a previous save and just being a horrible person.
I save scummed to get a full team of psionics because fuck the way they you choose psionics in that game.
So with Enemy Within, I knew about the psionics and all that. I knew what was in store for me, but I wanted to try playing it the proper way.
Right.
but I'm also a wimp, so I played it on easy.
That's fine.
But it was Iron Man.
Easy Iron Man, man. Whatever. I'm not Shinboy.
The easiest of Iron Man.
But, Fire Emblem in casual mode. What the hell's wrong with you?
The 3DS sucks in its multitasking capability. That's why I did it. Anyway, but yeah, oh, go on. How was Easy XCOM?
It was a lot of fun. They introduced the new elements with the expansion, which is just the same game, but with like the added elements to it. So it's it's a mix between like an expansion and a really good DLC, I guess.
Yeah, because it grafts onto the original XCOM arc, right? So you're still playing XCOM from start to finish, but now it has all this other stuff to it.
They added just like this element called Meld, which will let you make mechs or have like genetic improvements, like augmentations, I guess, for your people.
Right.
And that was neat. That was a neat little like min-max thing that added to the strategy.
Here's my question, right? Because first of all, I the fact that it's not its own entirely new campaign is pretty much why I didn't get it, because I'm not really interested in playing the core campaign again. But that aside, how are Melds? Are they more powerful than Psionics? Like, what's the power? Like, what kind of? How strong are they? Like, does it actually change the way you outfit your group?
The Meld is simply a resource, and actually, if you can double up. Where if you get, for example, your Psionics to have the augmentations, like not the max, just like the other one.
Okay,
that's like double elite super soldier.
Whoa. Okay, so you can have really brokenly strong units if you wanted to now.
Yeah, like my main ace, actually one of the two that made it all the way through the campaign. One of them was a heavy that wasn't like Sonic or upgraded at all, and the other one was.
Right.
But yeah, she just couldn't be killed.
Just unstoppable.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
But the way the Meld works is that you pick it up in certain missions where they're on a timer. So this sort of plays along that line of like you don't want to just keep overwatching. You want to try and get to those Melds as soon as possible. Okay. To get them before they self-destruct.
Okay, because it's like a schematic that you have to pick up on in a mission to actually get the augments.
No, what it is like there's resource nodes like whenever there's an alien crash.
Okay.
So there's two on the map, and if you get there in time, you get 10 Meld.
Oh, so it's like just a straight up, when you say resource, it is literally a resource. It's a number that's
it is literally a resource.
Oh,
and
okay.
Then you to make a mech suit, it costs 40 Meld. And then let's like there are of course the enemy there has mechs as well. They don't really have augmented units per se, but they do have mechs.
Right.
And one of the mechs end game is terrifying.
Can you get one?
It's like a giant robot and it hurts so much. It's bad.
Is it bigger than
a giant Sectopod? Robot, you don't say.
Is it bigger than a Sectopod?
I think it was a Sectopod.
Okay, so it's essentially a human Sectopod equivalent.
No, I mean like that's it was an enemy one that was very painful. But anyway, what I was going is once you capture them or do autopsies on them, then that lets you get upgrades for that's the research component to then find and unlock new stuff for your units.
Okay,
so cool. That's that back and forth.
Cool. All right. So overall, that sounds cool. I don't know if I'm interested. Do you like it? Is it awesome? Would you recommend it?
I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it, especially for people who are just getting into the game. If you can, like, especially on if you're getting on Xbox, I know that's a standalone. So if you're a first time buyer with it, I'm not sure why you're looking into it now and not a year ago. But XCOM is pretty cool.
XCOM is pretty cool.
Turn based strategy. But yeah, definitely pick up XCOM Enemy Within because it adds a lot to the game, and they've actually added a lot. There's three or four custom missions as well that were really interesting. I guess I can regale you in one of them if you like.
Okay, go ahead. You know what? Go ahead.
Of note.
Oh God, so much XCOM.
Okay, no.
So the
Raptor guys, the
Bombcast last year taught me to just zone out whenever I hear the word XCOM.
Nice. Well, XCOM is like brief with this. XCOM is the second best turn-based strategy I've played this year, because I only played it this year. First would be Fire Emblem, second would be XCOM, and third would be Tactics Ogre: Let Us Cling Together. So it's a pretty good. It's pretty good.
What was that last one?
Tactics Ogre: Let Us Cling Together.
Okay, Tactics Ogre. Okay, I just didn't hear the first part.
Yep.
Okay, you lost me at turn.
All right, so this is it, Thurbleton. This is your last shot. Let's do this and get it over with. What's happening?
You know those evil raptor things that when they like they kill you, you turn into a zombie, and then another raptor thing like spawns out of you.
Yeah, chrysalids. Yeah,
those guys. So chrysalids. You have to investigate a abandoned dock town, mm-hmm. like a harbor town in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And come to find out, chrysalids have just been infesting all of the whales and ships and all that.
Oh, weird.
Like sharks, not ships. But
chrysalid sharks?
There's a hive. So this like burst out of the sharks that are hanging on the docks.
Okay.
And then there's just every round, one of them will spawn out of this whale inside a ship. And so what you have to do is go past the whale to the bridge of the ship and plant, like activate the transponder so then they can do an airstrike. But once you activate the transponder, you have 5 rounds to get out.
Nice. That's pretty cool. All right. It's a good
I lost so many people with that mission, but it's like.
Me included.
Yeah.
XCOM is cool, you guys.
I have no problems with XCOM. Yeah. I have problems with hearing people talk about XCOM.
Yeah.
Video games, you guys. That's
video
all.
Video games. All right. So moving on. That's what everyone's been playing.
Played,
and a bunch
played
of
that one match.
Squiddle, have you been playing anything? Let's say on the 3DS.
I haven't been playing anything. The one thing I wanted to mention was I may be getting one for Christmas.
You should get one.
People may or may not like this, but if I do, it's going to be the Zelda Limited Edition bundle.
Why wouldn't people like that? That game's supposed to be good.
Well, no, because people don't like the theme-based 3DSs, and
I think
was just curious
that
to what
looks
y'all
like absolute goddamn garbage. But people who like Zelda seem to think it looks absolutely fantastic, so I don't know.
Okay. I actually like the Zelda regular 3DS, the black one with the gold trim.
Yeah, that was really nice.
If they re-released that as an XL, that'd be pretty okay.
No, it's not. It's all gold, I think. DS XL.
Yeah, it's all gold with like
the
black.
The new one's all gold.
Yeah, it's all gold.
The black one is the regular. Is the regular 3DS?
Yeah, the XL one is the one that's gold.
But yeah,
I was just curious.
You know my thoughts on gold with your iPhone.
That's because that looked dumb.
Well, wait, but I also have a gold. But I also have a gold case for my Android Nexus 5.
Oh god.
So that it's gold as well.
What's with you and gold? I don't understand.
Wait, the inside of that 3DS is gold?
Yeah. What?
Okay, no.
Exactly.
I'm not on board anymore.
See, the top looks kind of cool with the Triforce, right? And the bottom looks kind of... But the inside's gold, and that fucking ruins it.
It reminds me... See, for me, it's a throwback to the 64 when I bought my thing. I had the gold controller, and I played the gold controller with Ocarina of Time. Right. And I would not play any game. I would not play the game without my gold controller.
See, now you can get Ocarina 3D and play it on your 3DS with your gold 3DS.
Man.
Yep.
Well, hopefully at some point we'll have someone to talk about that new Zelda game when we get to Game of the Year. So hopefully you get it before
then. Started very briefly Link to the Past, like the SNES one.
Wow. Okay, great.
So maybe next year I'll probably play.
Yeah, Link Between Worlds. Sure. But and with that, just quickly touch on the news. There's not much news. What do you guys think of the Playroom thing? I think it's cool.
I think it's dumb.
I think it's expected of what happens when you give the internet something interesting and they just.
I just don't like it when people think that other people care about their lives.
But they do. That's the crazy thing. Okay, so the Playroom thing we're referring to is PS4 streaming. You can stream to Twitch and Ustream. People started streaming this game called Playroom that comes with the system. It is essentially just a full screen webcam when you're streaming it. And so there are just people watching people sitting on a couch, Big Brother style, but with real people instead of those fake on screen people, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. You were earlier watching a dude in a bear suit.
It was a bunny suit. Couch. It was a rabbit suit and he was drinking a beer and he had a bra on.
I'm not sure if that constitutes normal people.
And to be clear, he didn't have a bra on his chest. He had a bra on the bunny suit, like on top of the bunny suit. It was great.
It wasn't a bunny. It was a bear suit.
Was it a bear? It was a bunny. It was a bear.
It was a bear suit.
Okay, it was a bear. All right, it was a bear suit. There you go. So
maybe that's an Australian bunny.
So the story is, so dudes did that.
Bear sized in Australia.
Bad shit happened because, hey, give people full screen webcams and they do bad stuff. And so Twitch started shut down Playroom on Twitch because people were using it poorly. So the follow up to the story, that's all happened last week. The follow up to the story is, hey, you guys, all those dudes just moved to Ustream. So now it's still there, still running rampant all over your PlayStation 4. If you go to Live on PlayStation, pretty much every other stream is just dudes sitting on their couches talking.
Pro tip, if you go to Live on PlayStation, filter it so it's only Twitch streams.
I love it. I think it's great. I think it's stupid. I think bad people will always be bad, and the shit people did with that dude with his wife, that's fucked up. But if, I don't know, if people want to watch other people drinking, then more power to them. The other piece of news is, hey, you guys, both consoles sold pretty well. The numbers aren't comparable, but there's looking like there's going to be probably, if I was to guess, over 3 million next-gen consoles out there now that the PS4 has released in Europe as well. That's pretty
good. That's
not enough
numbers
to get Persona 5 on PS4.
I
heard people talking crazy numbers for PS4 in Europe. Sony hasn't said anything.
Yeah, Sony
like
has
multiple millions. Yeah, crazy numbers.
No, because they're misinterpreting sold out to be there's a lot in Europe in the first place, and I don't think that. I think it's pretty.
Hey, I'm just saying that people were talking crazy numbers.
Oh yeah,
I agree. Term crazy for a reason.
Yeah, like because. All right, so the PS4 is, so normally on a console launch or any form of big launch, right? It's difficult to get the thing at a specialist store because people usually go there to buy that thing, so it's pre-ordered out. So normally on a console launch, you can go into a big box retailer instead, something that does more general merchandise, and find it there day one. But here, at least in Australia, and what I've heard pretty much everywhere across Europe, even those guys are pre-ordered out. So it looks like the PS4 is essentially sold out everywhere in Europe. Yep. Now, whether that means they've actually sold a lot, like clearly they've sold a lot, but whether that's 1 million or 2 million or 3 million.
Like they sold all that they have. It's just a matter of how many they had.
Exactly, yeah. And because Europe tends to be more Sony focused, it's looking like they have met what I thought they would in terms of expectations. Like they are selling out of PS4s just constantly, which is kind of what I expected. It's going to be very interesting seeing the numbers when Sony releases them, because I bet they're waiting for a specific mark. I bet when they hit 3 million or whatever it is, they'll say then, but they probably won't say until then. Whatever the number they have in their head. And with that, anything else in terms of news? Those are two big news. I go next gen. I'm happy it's a thing. I'm really having my PS4.
Shared a stupid video of a pretty funny celebration faux pas in FIFA. So next gen is here.
Oh my god, the amount of like dudes, like the animation system making dudes just like look like they're boning each other or just humping each other. Like there's a thread on NeoGAF of just fucking FIFA gifs that is absolutely hilarious.
It wasn't really like a bug. It was just like because you can do like team celebrations or whatever. Uh-huh.
Yep.
And one of them is like the dude who scored sort of does like a machine gun, like Rambo style thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And like the teammate that's running towards him sort of like flails like he got shot.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that sort of happened while the dude was like right in the other dude's grill. So it looks like he ran into him and just like basically exploded. Pretty great.
So and with that.
All the while the dude has like a crazy creepy smile on his face.
Thus ends a really game-filled and like new hardware-filled episode of the Scotchcast. A lot of stuff happened this week, apparently. Hey, who'd have thought? So we're wrapping up the show. Let's just move on straight to plugs. Doubleton, any plugs this week?
None this week. I've just been sick and busy and all that, so I can't think of.
If you couldn't tell from his voice, he's being fucking sick.
Go buy more stuff from Target. That's Therb's plug.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Go into Target and spend all your money, preferably at the desk. Thurbleton.
Go to other Targets.
Go visit Thurbleton work.
Hey, Thurbleton, what Target shouldn't people go to? What do you want them to avoid if you're comfortable with saying?
What's your store number?
Yeah.
The 1337.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure that's actually it.
Yeah. Squiddle, any plugs?
That should be impressive.
Black Friday is stupid, and all you people out there that are trying to get good deals in the stores, fuck you.
All right.
Well, I mean, if they want to get deals, they're probably regretting the fact that at the time this podcast is going to go out, the Steam Autumn / Spring Sale has already ended.
Uh-huh. Shinbo 630.
Steam Sale.
What? Well, you know what? Go ahead. Finish that, Squiddle. Finish that.
I was going to say, Steam Sale is cool. You can do it from your desk.
Uh-huh.
Driving out to a store, rushing into a store, breaking it down, ripping box out of people's hands is asinine behavior.
So talk about like good GIF threads. There's a thread full of GIFs of the store openings on PS4 launch day in Europe, and they are spectacular. It's just like fucking madness. People running in. There's a specifically really good console snatch where a dude runs in, lifts the console up in like one perfect movement, turns around and darts at the counter. Like he's just the perfect snatch and exchange. It was just amazing.
Yeah. I suppose that's better than him darting out of the store.
Oh yeah. You know what? I bet there was a lot of theft. I bet you just can't control that many people.
Squiddle.
Yes.
What would your music plug of the week be?
Yay.
For the podcast?
My music plug of the week would have to be Sabaton's Careless Rex. I listened to that all when I had to work on Wednesday and then Friday. I listened to that album over and over to get me through the day at work. So that is my plug for this week.
Okay. Is that what album is Primo Victoria on? That's a good song.
That's a good song. It's not on that album, and I can't remember it right now.
Hmm.
Anyway, that was in like a 2011, 2010. I think.
Sure, let's go with that.
Shinboy, yeah. Any plugs?
My music plug for the week is I've been going down a deep old school Nightwish rabbit hole. So if you people want to listen to some really dumb symphonic metal, you should listen to Nightwish's Oceanborn. That's secretly their best album. No one knows it but me.
Pretty good.
And also my regular plug is who wants to buy me a Vita? I want a Vita, but I don't have the money to pay for a Vita.
So, oh man, Vita's great. So my plug is the greatest gen of the greatest generation ever.
Greatest generation of the
greatest
generation.
The greatest game of that generation has been announced. It was Persona 5. It's coming out in 2014 in winter in Japan, which probably means at the end of 2014, which means it'll probably come out in 2015 in actual countries that matter. And holy damn, I cannot wait.
So it's coming out in countries that matter. When are the games that matter coming out? Talking about not Persona 5.
Persona 5 is going to be amazing. It's crazy. Like, that whole thing was crazy. If you want a full breakdown, listen to the Bumcast. If there are more people here who had played any of the Personas, I would talk about it more, but I decided not to. But yeah, like the whole like 40-minute reveal with like me and like a what was it? It was Loopy Monkey, and he was just in like a fever dream, and someone else in Mumble, just sitting there staring at this weird short Japanese lady as she covers the screen with her body, and then the camera switches around and she moves deliberately to block that stream. And the entire time she's speaking in Teddy's voice in really rapid Japanese that no one understood. Whilst the chat at the same time was either blowing up or just bursting into tears, or just like absolutely like people like rapidly trying to translate at the same time, or just posting dicks. Oh, it was just like the perfect storm of excitement and payoff. It was like one of my favorite moments of the year. That stupid live stream and how long that, like the fact that we waited 6 hours for it to start with an announcement, or that's just like this shitty like 30-second long video for every like half hour to 20 minutes during that 6 hours, and then at the end of the fucking live stream they put out, so Jeff mentioned it was a countdown that was 55 seconds long, but it didn't look like it was 55 seconds because it was Teddy sitting there at 55:55:55, and to any sane person that would look like it meant 55 hours, 55 minutes, and 55 seconds away. And I was just fucking livid by that point that that was happening. And the fact that that turned out to be seconds and it turned out to be Persona 5. And hey, you are all slave. Is the best thing ever.
You are all slave.
Hey, I'm sorry.
The dance trailer.
It's Seneca, genius. I apologize. Were you saying something for the last few minutes? I completely missed all of that. I'm sorry.
And with that, I'll see you slaves next week. Or maybe next week after. I don't know. Whenever next year podcast.
You believe his moves is genius.
Best. Just the fucking best. Oh, I love Atlas so much. See ya.